Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
We are back with Three Body Problem, episode 4, titled Our Lord, which always feels weird hearing it come out of Mike Evans' mouth when he's talking to this unknown alien species that somehow is super advanced, but has advanced to a point that lies and metaphors fly over its head, which is, I mean, could be a lie within itself, you know? Who knows? We don't know anything about the Santi so far.
No, we don't, but I have a feeling it's not a lie. I think they're actually like that simplistic. They just communicate because, I mean, if it would almost be like lying to yourself, don't you think? Like if you were a hive mind, how could you lie to yourself?
Unless you're all in unison together, it's a very confusing kind of situation with this. But, you know, it is interesting because we first meet Evans like in the past. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to save this obscure species of bird in China, right? And then here he is trying to save a species coming to another planet. So the guy is kind of like this ecologist of sorts where he's just like very much, he stayed pure in heart. And he's living by this ethos now where he's embracing the fact that if he doesn't embrace power, he's not going to be able to change anything. So he needs to embrace the power that comes with running his father's oil company and make the change on his own terms.
Yeah, but I don't think he's really embracing power. And I have a feeling he's not utilizing it for good.
For him, it's good. I mean, well, for him, it's good.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I think halfway through this episode, he basically fucked everybody on Earth is what really happened here.
Because they didn't take the story well in terms of...
They didn't take the story well. They don't, like, they went from this position of trusting at least Mike Evans, and I would assume Ye Wenji, to now, I mean, like, not even respond. I'm sure they're going to respond at some point, but... I mean, they're not responding right now. They're like, we don't trust you. You're liars. So, well, it's kind of hard to have a conversation that way.
I guess him and Lover Girl have something in common then, because she made a decision that screwed over all of Earth unilaterally. And now one of his stories hasn't gone over well with his lord. And now it seems everything might go to crap for everybody, like you just said.
Yeah.
By the way, we haven't talked about the fact that the biggest twist of the episode is the fact that Ye Wenji is the one actually in charge and not Mike Evans.
Hey, I have been saying, I think since episode 1 or 2 that, well, not 1 because I wasn't on that one, but since episode 2, Ye knows more than she's letting on to. She definitely does know more.
She's not just innocent little Chinese woman. She is actual freaking ringleader of the alien species.
Of the alien cult, yeah, along with Mike Evans. Partners in business, and I'm assuming Vera was Mike's daughter as well.
100%. Yeah. Unless there's like a secret other love triangle that's going to happen here, but...
I don't see the benefit in that. I hope not. I don't like all the love triangle stuff. Just, come on, make it straightforward.
Makes me still wonder, though, how does the video game come into play, and why on earth... Why would... I guess Wenji's gotten to the point where she cares more about the Santi than she does her own daughter. Because she let her, she knows why her daughter killed herself, obviously, and she's accepted it, obviously. So, what on earth does she know about this video game, and why would she allow her daughter to play it? I don't know. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if like the, if like she knows all that much more necessary. Well, I mean, clearly she does, but I don't know that it's like something that some insight that you're gonna get from the game that just like. Elevates you to this position of just like, oh, you know, whatever for the good of the cause. But I mean, Mike talks to the Santi like they're a god. Like, I mean, obviously, like my lord all the time.
Well, that ship is worshiping him. You have the little kids, the little French girl who comes up to him and says,
exactly.
Will I live long enough to meet our lord? And he says, well, if the lord wills it. Why is he always playing this priest-like figure, by the way?
I don't know. I can't. I keep seeing him from The Crown, and I'm just like,
he's a priest in that too, isn't he?
No, he's the.
What is he in The Crown?
He's Queen Elizabeth's husband.
Oh, the older version. Dude, yeah. So I'm not caught up on The Crown. I only watched like two episodes of the first
season. It's okay.
It's okay. Is it good, The Crown? Is it?
I think the first four seasons are good. The last two seasons kind of trail off for me. Like I lose a bit of interest. It's interesting. I just don't know like how historically accurate it is. And
I've heard it's not.
It feels interesting to me because it seems historically accurate because you get all the like these little things sprinkled and you're like, oh, that actually happened. But like, I'm sure there's like just like grossly exaggerated stories and things that are made up as well. I'm not a royal expert, so I don't know. Like, it seems plausible. So it's interesting though. Like, I mean, the dynamic from it. If you look at it more of like a fictional show, mm-hmm. I feel like it would probably be a little more interesting.
I feel like we're heading though towards like a dangerous future where even if it was fiction, you wouldn't know mm-hmm. one way or the other because you're not a royals expert. But I have heard people who are British historians or British royal writers, whatever.
Yeah.
And they say that it's nonsense. Like The Crown is just like, it's drama for TV. Like it's great television, but it's not the way everything went down. So I don't know one way or the other. They could be maybe covering up. Who knows? So that's the problem we're kind of heading to. Everybody just has their own version or belief of what happens, and who has the time to fact check everything that they see. So boy's in it in season one, your favorite doctor, I think, right?
Yes, yep, one of my favorite doctors is in season one there.
Yeah. For those I don't know what we're talking about, Zach's he's a Doctor Who.
I'm not a Doctor Who like, you know, like Die extreme hard. Fan. Yeah, I mean, like I've watched a lot of them. I did like it a lot. I'm gonna be real. I've trailed off quite a bit. I don't think I've watched the last few seasons. My brother, on the other hand, is what I would probably classify as a Doctor Who nerd. Mm. He loves all of them. Mm. But yeah, I like some of the older ones, specifically with the Doctor that makes the appearance in The Crown.
Yep. And he's on House of Dragon, which you're going to watch pretty soon.
Yes, I've seen the first episode of that so far. I'm excited. Right, he seems to be a very interesting character in that show is all I can say so far.
That's one way to put it for sure. it goes on. But anyways, let's get back to the three-body problem here. We talked about Ye being Wenji being the sort of cult leader here going on, the religious dynamic of the Santi here, how Evan seems to kind of be like the Pope, which I think he plays a Pope because he kind of looks like the current Pope. he plays one in a movie as well. So he definitely has been typecast into the religious fanatic role. And even he probably wonders it in real life. Like, why, what has happened? But he's in a damn good role here, I got to say. And it's quite interesting because as advanced as the Santi are, as advanced as everything is, right? He's mm-hmm. in this old looking room with this very analog looking machine, right? And he's talking to this creature that nobody's ever seen before currently. And somehow, and I'm assuming that they were instructed on how to develop some of this technology that is in this show by the aliens, they were able to see him because there's a moment where the Santi says, "It's nice to see you smile." And even he's caught off guard because that means that this is not a purely audio mm-hmm. wave situation going on here. They're able to actually see through this somehow, even though they're 400 years away. So that also
is So that's the thing that I think is confusing me the most about the show right now is the fact that, first of all, it took 8 years, I think Yei said, for the message to come back to her, like for a response, though it felt very quick when we were watching the episode.
Was that accurate, or was it that, remember he said that they've been trying to get a hold of you this whole time? So
that's true too.
Was it that she waited 8 years, or was it because they couldn't get a hold of her?
That's the thing that's really confusing to me. Like, if you're 400 years away because you're like, what, 7 light years or whatever that was?
That's all you.
What?
I skipped that part of science class.
Oh, I don't know how to do the calculation, but you're some number of light years away, and whatever that number is equates to 400 years until you get here moving at whatever speed. And I'm just going to assume the speed of light because, you're a really advanced civilization, right? So if you're that far away, how on earth are we talking to them? And it's not just like, it's not like when you were sending like a message to like Mars and it's like, okay, we send a message and minutes later it shows up or something like that. It's like literally like you and I are talking right now. It's that real time. Like, is this going to be like some quantum matter thing again where it's like, I don't know, what is it when you've got like two things in like different places that are like the same, like they're connected in some way?
Are you bringing Constellation into this with the?
I'm really trying not to. I really don't mean to, but the only way that I can explain that, like in my own mind, is there's some sort of like quantum.
You're gonna make science happy, going happy on. Happy about this. You're gonna make her happy with all
if,
this quantum.
If you
thought.
Have any thoughts and theories, please tell me, because I would love, because I mean your communication should be able to travel no faster than the speed of light unless something's like quantumly locked.
Beats me, pal. All I know is that I'm assuming some of this technology was given to them in some way. They was communicated like, hey, we need you to make these weird visors. Apple's trying to compete with us. They just dropped the Apple Vision Pro, so we got to do this quickly. But My question is, they don't understand the, you know, Little Red Riding Hood story, yet they've made a visor with a video game that is around solving a problem of people accepting them coming to the planet, right? So they're able to communicate. Think about it. The whole goal of that video game is for people to either accept or reject the fact that they need a new home and that they're coming over here. That's my understanding of where that game ends.
Same.
Now, they're able to kind of create this series of metaphors and stories to communicate that issue to people. Or maybe it was game developed by humans and it was at the instruction of the aliens to do so. You know, like they brainstormed on that idea together. And so what they were looking for in this, because there was a hell of a lot of people in that London summit, by the way.
A lot more than I expected to be. I thought there was going to be like 10, 15.
Yeah,
I feel like there were like 50.
16 people, you know, maybe 25. But there was like a whole conference room full of people. And all people who presumably beat the game and answered that they would be willing to help, right?
Yeah.
But what was also interesting was when Wade captures Wenji at the end and he's interrogating her, it seems like there's more than one nation in that room. It seems like these are intelligence agencies from every single country from the look of it. I was basing that kind of superficially on the uniforms that I was seeing in the background. But it looked like there was just various countries being represented there, which is interesting.
It's highly possible. And I would kind of be shocked if there wasn't. I mean, like if this communication started happening in what, like the 70s, 60s or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, like that's a lot of time. I feel like a lot of the world governments are aware of it. And again, like let's go back to the whole universe flickering at your face.
Yeah.
Like people in this world must like know something, even if it's just the government.
Well, the whole summit was about kind of creating this secret society of people, right, who are all working towards their own means to usher in this Santi people, which kind of makes you creeped out a little bit about what if this is going on right before our eyes.
The Illuminati or something.
Yeah, what if it's like the World Economic Forum just like propping everything up here? Anyways, I'm not going to go into a rabbit hole of conspiracies here. That's kind of the whole point of that. And then we have the whole other issue of the fact that it seems like anything that the Santi don't want to happen doesn't happen, and the things that they do want to happen do happen. So why would they allow these people to discover the summit? Why would they allow them to capture Wenji? Whatever the Santi says to Evans, they even say, we will protect you, right? Mm-hmm. Don't worry, we will protect you. So it seems they knew, and they even broke the news to Evans that they know where you are, right? Your enemies know where you are. So they either have a mole on the inside or they have some other supernatural way of finding things out. Do you think Wade is working for them?
Wade? No, I don't think so. Do you?
I hope not, because he's such a cool character. I would hate for him to be a Santi, like, double agent.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I am, however, just like going back to the communication.
I just thought of something. Well, I just realized that Jin was with them. And if she played that game, perhaps they have an interface into her neural system and they're able to see what she's doing at all times. That seems to be a pretty possible scenario there.
does seem possible, like something was maybe implanted into your brain or something. It's,
but then again, why would they? Yeah, well, they do the countdown to Augie, and we still haven't figured out.
But Augie hadn't worn a helmet though, yeah, right? Like, and so that's remains. where this communication is still very confusing. It's like it's like you're omnipresent in one way in like this sensory form, visual, audible, whatever, but you're physically, like, again, light years away, and it's you're not able to travel there that fast. And if you're that far away, what could you possibly do? Like, what levers are they pulling?
And I wonder if Tatiana, the girl who kills Jack in the previous episode, I wonder if she's cloaked on these cameras technologically, like, if that's like a technological breakthrough that they've discovered, or whether it's literally some sort of supernatural protection she has of just not being caught on camera. But I feel like it has to have something to do with the nano microfiber, invisible microfiber things.
Maybe, but you know what? There's a line from this show that I've heard multiple times in previous episodes that's coming back to me as I'm trying to explain all of this stuff.
Okay.
You know what that line is?
Go ahead.
The science is broken. The science doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. So they've transcended the science of human understanding. But I also brought up that was my theory as well, which was all of this is to prevent humans from advancing too far in a way that could become a threat to the Santee.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they're trying to protect themselves and get ahead of it. But I'm wondering, to what extent does this science not making sense, you know, I mean, where does it take us, right? Like, I'll go back to like my I don't know, living in the Matrix theory sort of thing, like, or living as if this is its own virtual reality sort of game or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But I mean, it feels like everything around them is manipulated. I mean, to the point where these beings that are supposedly ridiculously far away can control what you see.
Where does that
just kill you in an instant? That's crazy.
Where does that leave us on the show? Like, if they're actually 400 years away, are we zooming?
I sense a big time jump, future? Maybe.
Are we doing a foundation type time jump where Jack Rooney's gonna wake up in a cryopod, like Gale? Like
decades later, centuries later. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I had to correct myself on that one. It's a little far out. I don't know. Do you think we're bound to get a time jump? I'm so over like the shows that have just such a massive time jump.
I don't think we're getting a time jump. I mean, if we're going to get one, we got no choice. And I honestly, the way this show is going, I would trust them with it. I feel like they're pulling it off better than other shows. We might be tired of it because the shows we watched didn't do a great job of reeling us or investing us into the characters.
Yeah, not with the voiceovers and everything.
Yeah.
And I woke up from my sleep and whatever.
Once again, a limited focus on characters. I mean, we kind of get the enemy side here a lot. We get a lot of Evans, who's been a mystery up to this point. We get a complete answer on the past, so we don't have to deal with that for the next four episodes, right?
Yeah.
We understand the Yay Wenji connection. We don't have to do like an episode 8 season finale when we find out Wenji is the boss, right? So now we got four more episodes. I haven't watched episode 5 yet. I have no idea what's going to happen in episode 5 because all of my questions in terms of character connections have been answered at this point. Now, the question is like, what is the plan? Like, what is Judgment Day? What are they planning for? And I guess the biggest question right now is, how is this video game thing connected? And I really don't know. Maybe that's why the show's damn great, because I can't predict what is going to happen next and what Wade's next course of action is here. Other than going to the Judgment Day ship and kind of like breaking into all the file cabinets, you know?
Yeah. Do you think Judgment Day is going to be like some boss level in the video game? What else could happen if they can control everybody. They've clearly got some people with science down on Earth, so who knows?
Well, I kind of want more out of the video game, to be honest.
It's so cool. I found that to be like a really engaging way for them to kind of like teach me about things and just build a ridiculous amount of interest. I liked it.
What I would love to see in the next episode is Jin Will, the crew, go to the cottage that Will's going to rent for them to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to all come to a consensus in the same room together. Because up till now, we've had a very fractured look at what each one is going through, right? This mm-hmm. episode, for example, we see, we haven't even talked about it, but Will gets the news broken to him about Jack being murdered, yeah. pretty much. And we don't know at what point Will's going to step up here. Because I am predicting a character change for Will, considering he's kind of like, at the first time in this episode, taking matters into his own hands. He opens up that book, which coincidentally has a note from Jin, and there's an illustration of the Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf,
mm-hmm.
right? And he asks her out pretty much, and she's the one who recommends that her boyfriend stays home, which I gotta say, you know, pretty absent boyfriend almost at all times here. Like, he doesn't know what's going on with this girl at all. But anyways,
yeah,
I don't know what guy is okay with you know, his girl
I'd be very suspicious, or like, what?
You want to go to a cottage with the guy who's obsessed with you? All right. No, I guess that's not a red flag.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's like a admiral, right? Anyways. Yeah. So I would like to see something like that, because this episode, we don't see Will and Saul after that, pretty much. We get Will calling Jin, of course, but up till now, right? Right now, in this moment, Jin, Augie, everybody has a false sense of security because Ye Wenji's been captured. Also, they need to discuss the fact that Ye Wenji is the one behind it, which means Vera is the daughter of the ringleader of this thing. And so they all need to talk about this. Why? Yeah. Because who recruited them? Vera did. Vera, they're all like these whiz kids who were recruited to work together. So how do they come into play, and do they join forces? And are we finally going to get Saul, who's the genius of the show, step up in a major way? You know, with something. So an idea is going to come together at this cottage, and they're going to decide that they also need to work at this as well.
I mean, look, Saul and Will are going to have to do something.
Revenge.
Everybody
for
else is dying, or they're dying, or they have their hands cuffed. They cannot proceed with their science. They almost get shot to death, or yeah. they get stabbed to death in their lovely house.
I don't see how Augie can get involved, though, because they'll just turn on her countdown again.
Yeah, she's got like 2 seconds left on that.
Yeah.
That's going to be such a depressing life to be like, all right, if I make the wrong move, if I even dream about the wrong thing, I might have 2 seconds before I'm dead.
Right? It's about 2 to 3 seconds tops, or 1 second maybe.
I think it's like 2 seconds left, but still, like that's just nuts. Like, that's not even enough time to like reverse thought.
She needs to just kind of like exit stage left and not deal with this at all anymore. Like, mm-hmm. she's done her part.
Yeah. I like you said, though, I do think we're definitely bound to get some sort of like regroup from everybody. It's gotta happen. We've all gotta kind of process the big reveal here. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing all of the markings with Will for like a big, you know, like character arc, I think. Like, he's gonna...
Yeah.
You might be right in your bet. Like, he might end up being the first person that we know to defy the countdown. Or do something else, you know, risky, I would imagine. I really want to know if there is any connection between him and his, like, talking to the cancer and
yes,
everything else. Like, yes, I still think that's kind of unanswered.
I brought that up last episode when he was under the drug yeah. effect, where he said, I was talking to the cancer. It just needs a home, a space to live. So it's going to take that corner of my body and I get the rest, or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's able to see the funny hat on Jack and the knot that Saul doesn't have a hat. So I'm really interested in Will's character development moving from here on out. We have to talk about Tatiana, who's kind of like the enforcer for the Santee. She somehow gets mm-hmm. away from the damn raid, which really pissed. Like, I rolled my eyes at the fact that she was shot and yeah, managed to crawl like across the street.
Out of there.
Maria break. Everybody got caught, and she, I mean, maybe the Santee protected her, you know? But nonetheless, she gets away. So what is she going to do next? And by the way, she caught on, because talk about an obvious, like, unless they were purposely trying to throw Jin under the bus, talk about how obvious it is that she was the one who did this, right? Because they literally pick her up and take her out of there.
I felt like that was just so stupid. Like, why come in guns blazing anyways? like, well, they well, did I guess come they in didn't. Guns they didn't. Tatiana pulled the trigger first, but
she was trying to shoot Jin.
Like, it felt like the wrong move to me, right? Like, this felt like it was supposed to be a reconnaissance mission.
And they needed to learn a little
bit. They were on the offensive. They were attacking here. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, they've got to pick up some notes and some cues before they go decide to. I mean, whether they pulled the trigger first or not, which we know they didn't, before you run in with guns drawn, like, that's stupid. Like, you know, learn something first.
Unless they have a rat or a mole on the inside that was trying to interrupt it.
But that was Jin. Jin was there.
No, what I'm trying to say is, what if the people behind that are, like, who planned the whole SWAT thing, what if somebody's behind that? Maybe Wade. Who knows? We don't know. We don't know who's who at this point. We can't trust anybody yet. I feel like the only people we really can trust are the friends and, like, Clarence. I don't trust Wade yet. Although Clarence has, like, an effed up home life and his son is, like, a lazy, good-for-nothing Mortal Kombat player who's not very good at Mortal Kombat. No, he really pissed me off when he made that joke about his dead mother, pretty much, having bad taste. And yeah, that was, like, in bad taste. But I feel like that character journey is going to be like the son finally respecting the father and, like, the moral, the merits of what his father does for a living and how it's not, you know, going to lead to riches, but it's more important than that.
Yeah, I agree. Jin must be probably one of the most wanted people, I think, at this point in the show, at least as far as the characters we know now. Yeah, right? I mean,
it starts off with, like, where you think Augie's going to be the main character, and then it just, like, shifts. Like, I don't feel like any single person here is the main character.
Well, I mean, Jack, you thought Jack was going to play a big pivotal role. You know, he's in here playing the game at the very least. Mm-hmm. Now he's dead. So, yeah, I don't know how long we're going to stay focused on any single character. But yeah, I mean, she's got the cult after her now. And if it ain't the cult, it's probably the Santee.
Yeah. The episode ends with Wenji in interrogation. Wade sits her down in front of, like, what I think are the heads of the various agencies around the world. And he asks her pretty much what Judgment Day is, or, like, what are they planning? What's going to happen? And she pretty much calls him a fool and says, like, if they wanted me here, it's because if I'm here, it's because they wanted me here. And you know what you know because they want you to know it. So this just remains a mystery. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to waterboard Wenji. you know, in the next episode. I mean, they should. They totally should.
I mean, she's probably doomed humanity. I mean,
I would love to take a poll of the audience. Though she already
thought humanity was damned, I guess. But
I'd love to take, like, a poll of the audience, right? You know, these alien creatures are on their way toward you. They're going to take over the Earth. You have no idea if they're going to kill you and your family and everybody out there, right? And just to take over the planet. You have this woman here who's made contact with these aliens, who's working on their behalf. To what extremes do you think it is morally acceptable to get information out of this woman? Maybe she's okay with her daughter being dead because there's no family members that can be used against her, you know, in terms of, like, getting info out of her.
So that I was going somewhere with the whole Lord thing and Mike earlier, right? Like, if Mike, you know, worships this Lord, whatever, like, you know, Ye must as well. Like, they truly believe in this. So, like, I don't know that she's just like, oh, it's not leverage that can be used against us. I feel like they're that brainwashed at this point that this is, like, their god.
Well, they did say to Wade, or she did say to Wade, she wasn't, like, malicious or anything like that. She said, when they arrive, you'll be so grateful. So she is definitely brainwashed to believe that whatever they're going to do with the Earth is going to be better than what humans have done. So could you imagine she's right? And the show ends and it's just like the Santee take over and it's like...
And it's just like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, we're just here to run things now, guys. Crazy.
What a boring end to a show if that were the case. That would suck. Man. Also, like, what evidence, aside from just these, like, really cool scientific, like, devices, what evidence did Ye have, that would indicate that the Santee would do better with the planet? Like, they couldn't save their own planet.
I mentioned this in the last episode. I mean, she comes from communist China. She comes from a world where her father was beaten to death on a stage because of his, for just simply preaching, like, correct science, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things where her only view of the world is negative. Her whole existence has been misery for the most part. And yeah. when you come from that, I think naturally you would probably think that there's anything else is better than this, right? Who I really want to meet is the pacifist who responded first. who responded, I'm a pacifist for my planet. Don't reply to this shit again if they catch hold of this.
No, that's a great point, though, that you brought up, though, because yeah. our understanding so far is that it's like a hive mind. So, right? Like, yeah. so there is no individuality with this thing.
There's factions.
So that's interesting.
Unless there were humans on that planet and this is AI. That's taken over. And so the thing talking to Evans is like AI, and the pacifist was a human who was like a leftover, and he was like, listen, I'm a pacifist from here. I can't stop this transmission again. Please don't send another one.
Are you proposing that the Santee have human slaves?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Right, isn't that like right now in time? I mean, I guess they could be harvesting people.
I think the trajectory of AI would probably be that, wouldn't you think? Let's say you believed in sentient, like that AI could go sentient, that robots come to life. The natural mm-hmm. trajectory of that is for them to take over. That is yeah. the natural trajectory for 100%, 100%. If they actually go sentient, they would absolutely, they'd probably just, if not dispose of humans, they would just, I don't know, you know, use us as slaves for sure.
Yeah. I mean, why though? Why? Because humans are not perfect, and we're definitely not working machines. Like the whole purpose of having a computer is because
that's what
like
I'm saying. I don't even think they keep us. I think they just kill us.
That's the point that I'm making. Yeah. Like, why would they keep humans as slaves at that point? Like, well, I feel like if they would sentient, just be like, let me just build another robot and just like it'll do it 10,000 times better than you can.
Maybe it would just be out of emotional attachment. Like, hey, but then over time you get some rogue AI who becomes like the Hitler AI, and he's like, we got to just get rid of them all. He's like the Magneto of robots, right? And he's like, what have these humans done for us? You know, they used us, they subjugated us for decades for their own use. And what are they good for? They have to eat 3 times a day. They need resources, you know, blah, 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 you know? Yeah. Eventually, yeah.
And whenever we talk about like, you know, sentient AI robots, the thing that always pops into my head is that movie I, Robot with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Same. It's like, that's the first thing that pops in my head. I can't unsee that movie.
At what point do you pull the plug, right? When it's too late.
That's when.
I just don't think humans are capable of pulling the plug on technological innovation. I think
we're too curious. I think we're way too curious and probably naive in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, let's get to categories.
Let's do it. Favorite character of the episode.
I gotta go with Wade on this one.
Interesting. Okay.
We don't get much of him, but he's just epic, bro.
I was gonna go with Jin on this one. I feel like it was good.
Yeah, she was good. Her performance was great. I just, you know, I like Wade has the one-liners, man. He's got the one-liners, and I appreciate those. You get the one-liners, you get the favorite character.
What he says has a lot of gravitas to it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on Wade's side more than I am on the side of the cult at this point. Like
on your allegiance?
No, I'm saying I am on Wade's side.
Okay. As if like you are on a scale, like you're still deciding whether to be with.
Oh no, maybe I misspoke. If I was gonna say if I were looking at Santee or some alien race coming to us, and they're like trying to brainwash people, I'd think that they're the enemy too. I mean, yeah. I don't think he's wrong in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Very risky. How about favorite scene in the episode?
I don't know. I guess the whole summit, the London summit, is probably my favorite scene. Maybe the Big Bad Wolf scene, where he's reading her reading the story to. Yeah. That's probably it for me.
Mine. I wrote down it was just Mike talking to the Lord.
Yeah,
like all of that. I think was like you learn so much about the Santee, I think, in those scenes. And that conversation just carries the weight of the world. Like, it's, I mean, if you think about it, like, you're literally, oh man, you're speaking for all of Earth.
Talk about a power trip.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. How about favorite lines? Let's pivot to that one. I got two that stood out to me.
I got two as well.
I swear, if they're the same.
It's got to be the same. I'm going to go with, you want me to say my two?
Say your two.
All right. The first is Wenji, where she says, in order to fight power, you have to embrace power. Actually, I think Evan says that to her in Mandarin. So in order to fight power, you have to embrace power. And then the second for sure is on your list, which is when Jin asks Wade if he believes in aliens. And he says, you don't have to believe in Santa Claus to believe that people get gifts on Christmas. And
that's the second one on my list.
And then I like the two smart ass quips pretty much, where Clarence goes, ho, ho, ho. And then when Clarence comments on 400 years away and Wade goes, space is big. I thought that was great too.
Those are good. Yeah, number two is you don't need to believe in Santa Claus to believe people give gifts. I like that one a lot. The first one you mentioned was a good line. I forgot about that one. The other one that I liked was something that I believe Evans said, and it was, "What security can we provide that the Lord can't?"
Okay.
It was kind of,
that's when he's talking
kind of
his,
scary.
His minion. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Any other categories today?
That's what I got, unless you want to do like a who has it best, who has it worst.
Well, we know who has it worst. Augie absolutely has it the worst at this moment.
she's like handicapped with all of her science. She can't do anything.
I think she has it worse than Will, who has freaking stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Because
she, you know what? I think she's got it worse than Jack, because Jack can't do shit. He's dead already.
Well, maybe not worse than Jack. I don't know. But like you said, I think, you know, maybe Jack's still alive somehow. It could be.
Look, I can't rule this out. Like, this, the science doesn't make sense. Like, we could maybe all be in a simulation. I don't know.
And maybe Wenji's like so okay with her daughter being dead.
That could also be too. Like, what if when you die here, you wake up elsewhere? Which I mean is, yeah, I mean spiritually, I guess like that could make sense too. But I don't know. I mean, what if you like reset? It's just like the game, in my opinion. Like, all right, you're playing, you die, okay, reset, but maybe you reset somewhere else. I'm not sure. I don't know how far down that rabbit hole I could go, but
yeah.
I'm excited for the next episode, and I'm very excited that I can finally now watch it, because we've gotten this recording
finally
under our belt.
Yep. All right, thank you all for tuning in. We hope you're enjoying our coverage of Three Body Problem. If you are, make sure to like this video on YouTube and rate the podcast 5 stars. Leave us a nice review too. And if you want to email us, you can at contact@soapbox.house. We also have a Patreon if you want to support the show. We greatly appreciate it if you do. Helps us produce it and do all the stuff we need to do to crank out as many episodes as we can. So
absolutely. I mean, you're doing such a good job at covering these outros. I gotta leave us naked unless you want me to, want me to run through it again.
No, we're good. Yeah. I think I covered everything, so.
Yeah, you touched on all my typical points. I mean, you can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network, but that's the only one I haven't heard you say yet. So we're good.
All good. All right. Awesome. All right, guys. Until next time, we'll see you on episode 5, and have a great weekend.
Peace.